all sports, all the time.
Hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so if you haven't been over there to check Wednesday's blog out, it's still hanging long for you. But while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that video over there, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Sports Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with 3 E.
And Dan, since it is Thursday, you get to hear this.
Yo, VIP. Let's kick it.
All right, then Mr. Fantasy is joining us on Thursdays to help us out with some FanDuel lineup. Then, of course, pick the game. You hanging in there, Mr. Fantasy? You're not in Oklahoma?
No. I'm on the road, but I'm not in Oklahoma. I'm getting through this great Chicago traffic today.
All right, well, help our listeners out just in case. If they have a question they can't call in, they can hit you up on Twitter at what is that?
Mr. Fantasy Sports.
All right, so yeah, ship your fantasy questions off there. But let's start out as we always do. We have a men's spectacular matchup tonight. As interesting as it is, we have the at the Cleveland Browns. I can tell you guys that Schomburg 2 is going to go with the Jets to win tonight. Dan, who are you picking?
I thought I picked the Jets.
No, actually, I saw that you picked Cleveland, but that's just me. I'll have to double-check that. But, yeah, I have you for the Browns. Mr. Fantasy, who are you picking tonight?
Yeah, I thought I was going to be on a limb here, but I'm picking the Cleveland Browns to break their winless streak, and they will get a victory today.
Well, that's frightening. I would like to congratulate Stu on getting his first win of the week because I also have the Browns. So you guys are just dead in the water. You may want to go in and change. May want to go in and change your pick. But we're doing. You know, I mean, I guess what I kind of described as 5x5 here for FanDuel. There's a free roll, so Dan and I can play along with you for free today if you want to. You want to help us out? And I'm looking here. You know the salaries are vastly different. You get a $60,000 total. You know, and it's broken down. It's an MVP category, which you get a point and a half for the player and then four flex positions. So there's no real position specific here. Who's your MVP at tonight's game?
Yeah, you're going to have to help me here. I should know this, but Cleveland Browns running back came over in free agency from San Francisco, my guy, and I can't think of his name.
Your guy Carlos Hyde you're going with as MVP?
Yes, I think so. I think Carlos Hyde's going to have a huge game today.
Oh, all right. Well, that's a good spot. In that field. So how did you do that? Who's your first flex guy you're going with?
First flex guy is Sam Darnell. If you look at Cleveland can't be run on. They're very tough against the run, but you can pass against them. So I want Sam Darnell in there.
All right. And then obviously we got more flex guys to fill up here. So who's your next guy?
My next guy, I got to get a receiver to go with Sam Darnell. So you can go with either one. You know, with the money, the way it works out with this, your guy or you can go with my guy. I'm going with Robbie Anderson today, but I know you like the other guy, so you can go either way I think would be good, but I'm going with Robbie Anderson.
I don't know. Robbie Anderson's really struggled, so I hope you're right on that one tonight. All right, couple more spots. So your next flex guy is?
I'm going with a guy, and I don't even know if you know that we have him on our roster, but I picked this guy up. I like Callaway a lot, the rookie from Cleveland. Now that Josh Gordon's gone, it's him and Higgins, right, are the two receivers, the main guys. And this guy was leaned on a lot last week and actually looked decent. And I've heard a lot of really good things about him from, you know, doing a lot of research and stuff. So I really like him today.
All right. Well, you're managing your money a lot better than I probably would doing this. You've got 13 grand left to fill just one spot. Who's wrapping up your lineup tonight?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if today the Jets are forced to kick a lot of field goals. Because if you look at who they played, the Steelers and the Saints, they were both put in a lot of those positions where they should have been kicking field goals, and I think it's going to be the same thing tonight. So I'm going with the Jets kicker tonight.
All right. Is it Jason Myers is still their kicker? I never know in the NFL. Who you went with?
Yeah, it's still – yeah, you don't have to worry about him. It's the Browns guy. If you're going to go with a Browns kicker, make sure you get the guy they signed this week, not the guy they cut, because the guy they cut, I think, is sitting at 6,500, and he's on the – he's listed on the – you know, as an option for you. So you got to be careful with the Browns kicker.
What he's telling you, Dan, is take Gonzalez out of your lineup. Just wipe that out there. All right, so let me see if I got this right. You're going with Carlos Hyde as your MVP. Then your four
yep.
flex guys are Sam Darnold, Robbie Anderson, Antonio Callaway, and Jason Myers?
Yes.
All right, now, you know, the first thing that pops into my head, left a lot of money on the table, $3,000. You're not worried about that?
No, I'm not worried about it. Yeah, I'm not worried about it at all. But when I won the week, you know, I've done this a couple weeks now, and I won one, and I actually, you know, did really well, and I was shocked at how much money I had left on the table after that. So in these single games, I don't think it's a big deal to leave money on the table like it is when you're doing, the bigger leagues where you get multiple games.
So, all right, well, you know, just checking. So, you know, again, you have one of these things where you picked Cleveland to win the game, but you have more Jet players than Brown players.
I do, but I think it's, you know, you can only do five. I'd like to have Pryor in there, because I think Pryor is going to be a big deal in this, but the Jets are going to move the ball by throwing the ball. Everybody can do that, but they're not going to be able to punch. They're not going to be able to punch it in. They're going to have to throw it in, or they're going to settle for field goals. So I really think that this is the way to go. Carlos Hyde's going to be the biggest deal.
All right. Well, we're all hoping you're right now that we've all pumped that lineup in. So you know it's going to. You know, it's going to have to score for everybody. I set it up. Now, Dan, you know, you paid the price last week because his lineup kind of struggled. Are you trusting him? You're happier with his lineup?
I really have no choice because I don't know anybody who played for the Browns or the Jets aside from Carlos Hyde.
So yeah, it's definitely an interesting matchup. And sadly, it'll still probably get fantastic ratings, don't you guys think?
Well, I think it's an interesting matchup because, you know, you've got a great pass rusher on Cleveland. Cleveland's run defense has been really, really good this year, and they were sneaky good last year, and they should have won both of the games they played this week or this year already. And then, you know, you've got Sam Darnold and the Jets, you know, have a good receiving core, and they've got some things going for them. So if you had this matchup last year, it would have been really bad. This year, it's actually, there's a lot of things to be hopeful for on both sides. So I think it's a much better matchup than people realize.
All right, well, we're gonna take...
Well, the only question I have, and it's not, well, you know, I just kind of a guess or a wondering why. What made you stay away from Isaiah Crowell Is that even his first name? Did I make that up?
Yeah. Cleveland's run defense is stout. If you look at what happened with now I can't come up with his name. I hate this, but the Saints, yeah, Kamara last week. I thought he was going to be a monster, and he wasn't. Yeah, he wasn't. They shut him down last week. You know, as much as you can shut him down, they're really good, this run defense. So that played away from Isaiah Crowell, and I think that the Big Jack and I need to really think about our money league. We've got a Jets running back, and I would put put Robbie Anderson in, and maybe the Cleveland rookie Callaway or whatever his name is, and take out our running back, because I don't think they're going to have very much success today.
So, well, you know, then, you know, obviously we're talking about running backs here, so this brings up my point. You like Carlos Hyde. You went with Carlos Hyde. The question's got to be, you know, you're not worried about the three-headed Cleveland monster biting you. You know, Nick Chubb is going to get carries, and Duke Johnson is the receiving back. You're not concerned at all that that's gonna bite you?
No, I'm not concerned today at all about that.
So, because that would be the one thing I guess I would be a little worried about with that.
Yeah, I mean, the hard part with these single games is you've got to figure out what you think the game is going to look like, and I think they're going to run the ball a lot, Cleveland. So I really think that my guys, the biggest weapon they have right now, you haven't seen a lot out of Chubb yet, and the other guy, the receiving guy, you know, is what he is, but they're going to lean on him a lot today. And then I think, that the Jets are going to have to throw the ball if they're going to be able to move the ball, because running's not going to work. So you got to kind of look at that. And if you look at what the scores have been in the first two games with Cleveland, they were very low-scoring games. So you just got to figure out who's going to move the ball. I don't think there's going to be a ton of scoring.
Okay, so you want this Antonio Callaway in for Bilal Powell? Is that what you were saying for us tonight?
Well, put him in as a receiver. Put in the two receivers, Robbie Anderson and him, in as receivers. Leave the flex open so we can make some decisions come Sunday. We're not stuck with a receiver or taking a receiver then.
Okay. Well, all that basically does is move Antonio Brown into the flex role, and I don't really think we're going to move him out, even though he's had a couple of rough weeks. So.
Oh, I had forgotten that we have. You know what? Who do you like? Because I'm forgetting that we don't have as many spots as we do in the Yahoo leagues. So what do you think?
Yeah.
I really like Cole's matchup this week is going to be great. So who would you rather go with, Robbie Anderson?
Yeah.
Or Callaway?
I actually liked Cole over Anderson. I don't mind putting Callaway in. I liked Cole over Anderson because I just worry about the pass rush. And, Anderson has been more of a downfield guy. He's not really getting the underneath stuff. Quinn Nunua could be the guy tonight who goes off for the Jets. So I was just kind of looking at that.
Okay, then go with – I'm good with that. Then take Anderson out and put Callaway in, and then we'll put Cole in with Antonio Brown.
All right. Well, I put Callaway and Cole in the two receiver slots, and then the flex. Like I said, no big deal. So we're all set then. So that's what I was just curious about. I was trying to think what else was there. What we were talking a little bit about Robbie Anderson. And I mean, you got him in your lineup. Is he going to be the home run hitter he's supposed to be tonight? I mean, it's kind of his job, but, you seem to like the Cleveland defense. Is this going to be a concern here?
Well, it's a concern, but it's that's the way that teams have been successful. If you look at, Ben Roethlisberger didn't put up a lot of points against them, but they threw for a lot of yards. The same with the Saints. They threw for a lot of yards. They just didn't put up points. I would imagine that it's going to be a similar thing where they're going to move the ball through the air. It's just whether they're able to get that big play or not. So that's why I said I could see it going either way, and I probably, you know, I've got the same lineup, but with the other guy, the guy that you like, Yuko or whatever, in it instead of Robbie Anderson, because I could see it being a lot of, you know, the shorter stuff and him not getting the big home run.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what I was a little concerned of, is him taking, you know, especially as a rookie quarterback, you get the check down. So.
Yep.
No, and then I did ask you, did you do or do we kind of automatically qualify? I saw the stands rule where if your MVP scores a touchdown first, you move into some other kind of thing. Are you in that, or is that just automatic with us doing this game?
No, there's a game. There's actually a game that's like that, and it's a $9 entry for that one.
Did you jump in on one of those and put a lineup in, or
no.
What did you do there?
No, I haven't done anything.
No?
I was thinking about it and looking at it, because if you can figure out who the first score is going to be, that to get a share of that money would be great, you know.
Well, if it scores, field goals don't count.
Yeah, I think it's touchdowns.
Okay, so because that's what I thought I saw. Obviously, before we let you go here, why don't you tell us, do you remember how you did on Sunday? I know I actually came in under 140 points, so I didn't win flat again.
Yeah, I didn't do as well as I did the week before. My high score was 149 last week, and I think that was the one that we did on air. And then I was below that. The week before, my low was just over in the 150s, and I was between 150 and 200 is where my lineups were hitting.
So yeah, no, I didn't. I did not put up big. I did better in week one than I did in week two. I'm trying to remember. I think my quarterback kind of cleaned out. I don't remember off the top of my head who I went with, but I don't believe he had a very good game. I'm just going to have to start using Mitch Trubisky. It's just bottom line. That's it. And did you pull any winners then? I mean, those are some rough numbers. Were you able to pick up, at least get your money back?
No. I had a huge week one, week two. I didn't get anything. So week three is a new week, and I like there's some really good matchups in there, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm really looking forward to the Monday night game. I think that's going to be a great game to get in on.
Yeah, I decided this week I'm just going with all of Dan's guys because the Vikings are playing the Bills, so I'm just going to load my lineup up with Vikings.
Latavius Murray is going to be a great sleeper this week because it doesn't look like Cook is going to play. He hasn't played or he hasn't practiced the last 2 days, and he has a Thursday night matchup the following, after this. So they're probably going to rest him. And Latavius Murray looked really good in the preseason for the Vikings, so that's going to be a good under-the-radar guy to go with.
So, well, that's good. Now, I did see, getting back to tonight real quick, they're expecting Jarvis Landry to make his debut for the Browns. You know, obviously, you know, he's a big-time number one receiver, you know, former 100-catch guy, you know, down there in Miami. Do you worry now that Callaway gets phased out as the third guy here tonight, or is it just he's coming back, you're not too worried about him taking too much away the first week?
Yeah, I don't know, honestly. I'm going with him because he's been hot in there. I'm reading a lot of stuff about how much they like this kid and how talented he is, and he saw it last week. So I'm buying the hype, and I'm invested in him, and we'll see what happens.
Well, not technically, we're all invested in him for tonight, so we better hope this works out. So.
Yeah.
All right, well, we will let you go on your merry way and get yourself home, but thanks for stopping by, and, of course, Dan will talk to you next week, and I will talk to you on Sunday.
Yep. Take care, guys.
Good luck.
Adios.
We say goodbye to Mr. Fantasy there. And of course, like you mentioned, you got fantasy questions, go ahead and hit him up on Twitter, at Mr. Fan of Sports. You know, he'll probably get back to you faster than he gets back to Dan and I. So.
But not while he's driving.
Yeah, well, at least we hope not. You never know. Maybe he'll pull over and actually. Of course, if he's driving at this time, Dan, he's just sitting in traffic. He's probably okay for him to get hitch you back up. So. Oh, all right. Well, what else do we got going on here, Dan? You know, it's Thursday, so I'm sure we had at least one afternoon baseball game, didn't we? Oh, yeah, it looks like we had exactly one, and I believe it's still going on. Oh, boy. Dan, can you believe the A's are beating the Angels?
So,
yeah, it's 21-2 in the bottom of the eighth inning. So I have to look at this box score and see. The A's have 21 runs on 21 hits. So let's keep going here. Just some highlights. Steven Piscotty, Martini. I can't remember his first name. I think it's Nick Martini. And Chad Pinder have all homered for the A's. So just three homers. But, Martini is 3-for-6. Matt Chapman's 2-for-4. Jed Lowry's 2-for-4. Chris Davis is 2-for-4. Everybody's got two hits on the A's. Marcus Semien has 3. Dan, Mike Trout is 1-for-3, and he does have a home run. So at least he's producing in a losing effort.
He does for up-to-date stats. I mean, he's finishing off, and hopefully he can stay on this route at a .317 batting average with 35 home runs. I guess he's been unlucky in the RBI department that his guys aren't getting on base for him because he only has 71 RBIs, but he has upped his stolen base game to 24. So, he's 27 years old. I forget how much longer that he has with this contract. Whether you like him or you hate him, what the hell is the point of even? When he comes up in free agency, why would he want to stay with this team?
Yeah, well, I guess it depends, if or what they do around him. He'll be a free agent in 2021, Dan. So he's got two more years there? Yeah, he signed for 2020, so he's got next year and the year after. And then he will hit the open market. The weird thing is they've tried to put guys around them, they've went out and they signed some pitching, it never worked. The guys they have now, the young guys they tried to develop, the Garrett Richards, the Andrew Heaneys, the guys like that, just can't stay healthy. So, yeah, I wonder if he'll stick around. Everybody's saying it's just going to be a natural for him to sign with Philadelphia because, he's from there and we've seen him at Eagles games and, that's a big thing. So,
well, my question to you, and I know you're not a fan of this, but coming to this offseason, is it time just for sake that the Angels decide to try to trade him and see what they can get? Or does that completely
I think if they're going to, and, now that they have Ohtani, they have some drawing style power. I think you look into that and see who's out there, what you can get. And I know I mentioned Philly. They have, I believe, a pretty well-rated farm system. So, obviously it's going to take, you got to figure 5 or 6 really good prospects to get out. But I'm sure, they probably wouldn't mind partnering with J.P. Crawford. He's had a tough year. He was their number one prospect for a few years. But I think they wouldn't mind giving money. I don't know what the mindset looks like, but those guys are always involved in these deals. I think, and then you wonder, if Washington would jump in, you know, if they do lose Harper, you know, say he finds somewhere else, I mean, you know, Mike Trout wouldn't be a bad replacement for him, would he? But, yeah, I think this is the year for them to seriously look into doing it. You know, and I mean, you know, what team would be interested in Mike Trout? You know, what you got to give get him, especially if you're right there on the cusp of contending. I can see them not wanting to trade him to the American League because you don't want to see him. But, yeah, ship him off to the National League and get five or six guys and kind of set your rebuild. I mean, hopefully it works out.
You know, I mean, after the Cubs sign Bryce Harper next year, do you think it would be, and I'm being sarcastic, of course, but do you think maybe that trade could finally actually happen? I don't even think it was rumored. I think it was just one of those speculations, but do you think they'd be a player in a Mike Trout trade?
Yeah, well, you know, the tough part the Cubs always have is it seems like Theo doesn't like to give up his guys. And, you know, the sad part is, you know, you'd be looking at probably shipping off, you know, Ian Happ, Kyle Schwarber, probably Addison Russell. And remember, the Cubs don't have anything below the major league level. They have one of the worst minor league systems out there because Theo gave it all away, you know, winning the World Series and then trying to contend last year. So there's not much there, you know, at the bottom there. So that always makes it tough for the Cubs to do anything like that because, you know, as you and I know from doing this, Dan, prospects are the key word.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, and the thing that sucks about it, too, is, you know, I don't know. Hindsight is 20/20, but I think our foresight was pretty on when – you know, the whole Justin Wilson-Avila trade, I mean, that was a complete waste of a trade. Yeah, I know you can't, you know, keep Jamar down there forever, but, you know, the opportunity this, you know, this past offseason or even, you know, this upcoming offseason, still being able to have a guy like Jamar down there, and even Ian Happ, who I'm, you know, I'm not going to say I don't like, but, you know, I think maybe he was rushed a little. Maybe that's what I'm looking for. So, you know, having those guys down there, I think could have made a difference if they were seriously trying to acquire Mike Trout. But again, that's, of course, is just our speculation. And I don't know. And I know you're not a huge fan of the teardown rebuild, but at the same point, you know, with what the Angels have done or haven't really done, you know, and it's not like they're, I'm not like I'm saying that they need to give up on him, but, you know, again, in all likelihood, in 2 years, what would you really have to offer aside from Ohtani that wants Mike Trout to stay there? You know, the
right.
Other part of it is they still have Pujols until 2020. Isn't that correct?
I think they have until 2022. So. He's tied up.
I didn't realize it was that long.
Yeah. Well, you know, the scary thing, Dan, I mean, the one team that could be a gigantic player in this if they really wanted to jump in, and, you know, another team, you know, at the trading deadline, these guys were afraid to give up their guys as well. Imagine plugging Trout in as the Braves center fielder around their young players. And they have the minor league system to do it. Just, you know, willing to pull the trigger because, you know, at the trade deadline, they didn't give up much. The only thing they really went out and got was Kevin Gausman. And, you know, they didn't give up a ton to get. But they, you know, they would have exactly what a team like the Angels would be looking for. And I just don't know if, you know, you would think they would be smart enough to pull the trigger if he became available, but, you know, you've seen it here in Chicago. These guys get attached to the guys they draft and the guys they go out and get. And, you know, I mean, in Theo's case, it paid off because a lot of people wanted him to move Javier Baez, and now he's probably going to win a National League MVP. So it's a good thing they hung on to him. But, you know, would it at this point in time, would it have hurt to have moved Kyle Schwarber?
No. I'm under the belief, and I said this coming out of the World Series, time is now. Because, you know, everyone just kept talking about, he's just got to get back into Kyle Schwarber form. But he barely played. We didn't know who the hell he was. For all the Moneyball stuff, his draft or his recommendation from a scout was based on old school baseball, thing that goes against their beliefs. So that's what makes it even more confusing.
So, yeah, you know, because, I mean, you jump in again and you look at the Braves, you know, they could headline the trade with, you know, Ender Enciarte, you know, and he could kind of be Trout's placement in the outfield in for the Angels while they center it around, you know, whatever minor leaguers they would be willing to give up in this deal. And, you know, again, they've got a really good farm system, and they have some really good young arms. We've seen some of them, you know, guys like Tuki Toussaint and, you know, Max Fried have popped up this year, and I know they've used a few more. And, you know, it's just the process of, you know, would they be willing to make that kind of move? I mean, you know, I don't know why they wouldn't, but you know how teams are.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at their top 30, and, you know, right away, I mean, like, we've seen Mike Soroka this year. He's pitched in the majors. You know, I mentioned Toussaint. He's there. I believe Luis O'Hare has even made an appearance or two. So they have some guys with just a little major league experience that they could package up, and send to the Angels that wouldn't put the Angels that far away. It could be a little quicker than that five-year rebuild if you get some of these guys who are right on the border of, you know, of coming in. So, you know, it's just, again, like I said, would they do it? But, yeah, imagine plugging him in that lineup, you know, either in front of or behind Freddie Freeman and, you know, with Nick Markakis right there. If they even bring Markakis back, he's a free agent and he's pushing 40. I mean, he's had a great year, but you do wonder if, you know, he'll be back. He could be, you know, one of these odd guys priced out of the market. So
now, you know, with the way baseball is, the surprise that they still have Mike Schmidt as the coach, manager, the Angels. Or am I
Mike Socha, you mean?
He's gone. Yeah, Mike
Socha. No, Mike
Socha. That's what
wait, did we get back on the Phillies? I was confused there. Well, you know, the talk was that this is going to be his last year. You know, they were saying earlier, you know, it was reported earlier that the team and him had actually agreed to part ways after this season, but then Socha came out and denied that. But, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he walks away. I mean, he's been there a long time. He's won a World Series. So, I could see him packing it in. I wouldn't be surprised at that at all. And, you know, sometimes you do need to freshen that up. So, you know, we'll have to see how that rolls. But, Dan, I also did want to point out that A's game went final with the Angels, and I'm going to double-check this here. But I believe, just so you know, that Edwin Jackson got the win.
Did he start?
Yes, he did. Oh, here you go. He is 6-3 now with the A's. He went 5 1/3, 3 hits, 2 runs. They were both earned. He struck out 7 and 3, and he did give up that home run to, I believe it was Trout, I said, right? Let me double check that. Yes. His ERA is 3.27 for the A's this year.
Not bad. He's under a contract, not by the Cubs, correct? That a deal expired?
Well, yeah, I believe the Cubs are done paying him finally. I think last year was actually the last year the Cubs made the final payment to him, or it may have been 2 years, but Well, one way or the other, the Cubs are finally done. Yeah, he's basically playing for the minimum.
Lucky them. Good for him that he's still in the game.
Yeah, you know, like I was mentioning to you before, you know, the Angels had some young pitchers they thought would develop. Matt Shoemaker was one of those guys. He made the start today.
Oh, yeah.
Only lasted 2 2/3 of an inning. 5 hits, 5 runs, all earned. Walked 2, struck out 4, gave up the home run. Obviously, he took the loss. So he's 2-1. He's coming back from injury. He hasn't made a ton of starts. But Jim Johnson, the former Braves closer from way back, came in, pitched an inning, gave up 6 earned. They had another reliever named Almonte who came in and couldn't get anybody out, gave up 5 earned. And then Arcia came in to pitch 2 innings and gave up 3 runs. So there's definitely some work to do angel-wise, you should say.
So they only have 1 angel in the outfield.
Well, I don't know. Upton's had a pretty good year for him. You know, Justin Upton's been pretty good for him this year. So, and, you know, Calhoun's made a huge comeback. He's only hitting .211, but he's made a huge comeback just to get to that because he was hitting about .120 halfway through the season. So, but, yeah, you know, you look at their everyday lineup, and, you know, you got the outfield is Calhoun, Trout, and Upton. You know, that's not bad. Andrelton Simmons is a quality shortstop whose bat has really come around. And then, you know, you throw in Ohtani, who swung the bat really well when he's been healthy. You know, he is hitting .290. You know, I'm not as down on Pujols as everybody else. I mean, I don't think he's the middle-of-the-order run producer he used to be, but he's still a solid major league player. I mean, I would take him over a guy like Chris Davis from Baltimore any day. So, you know, they have some really quality, you know, everyday lineup guys. It's just putting that pitching together that for whatever reason, you know, and I don't know what happens or what they do, but they just don't stay healthy. So, it's just kind of baffling. I'm actually going to. You know, of course, my internet wants to slow down when I actually want to do something here. But, yeah, I want to take a look at the Angels stats here and see, like, how many starters they've used and, you know, some of their bigger guys, you know, the guys they were kind of counting on. Like, I know Shoemaker's been hurt a lot, but, you know, I know Richards has missed starts. I know Heaney has missed starts. You know, and these were guys that they were counting on to be, you know, kind of top of the rotation guys. Even if you remember a few years back, they went out and gave C.J. Wilson a bunch of money, you know, hoping he could be the anchor to the rotation, and what happened to him? He got hurt. So, you know, that ended up just being another one of their, you know, kind of floundering contracts that they've had to deal with here. Let's see. It looks like they've used – now, I know they did do the opener thing a couple times. So I don't know how accurate this is, but it looks like they've used, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 different starting pitchers. Heaney has made 28 starts, so he's having a decent year. He's 9-9 with a 3.97 ERA. That's a little rough of an ERA, but not too bad. Tyler Skaggs is another one of those guys they were kind of counting on to – you know, be a rotation piece. Now, he's made 22 starts because of injuries. 8-8 with a 3.69 ERA. I mentioned Garrett Richards, who's 5-4 with a 3.66 ERA, but he's only made 16 starts because of the injuries. Shoemaker today was just his 4th start. So, you know, you bring these guys in and you look at these rotation pieces and you're like, okay, well, you know, I'm going to build this here or we're going to build that there. And, you know, they can't stay healthy. I mean, you know, Ohtani, who did have a 3.31 ERA, only made 10 starts. So, you know, while you're going to listen to them gloat about him, and in those 10 starts, he only covered 51 2/3 innings. So you figure that out. He's not even making quality starts. You know, quality start is 6 innings, and I think it's less than 3 earned runs. He didn't, on average, doesn't give you one of those. So, you know, then all of a sudden your bullpen is hugely stressed. So where, you know, where do you turn to there? You're bringing guys in the fifth inning every time he makes a start. That's a lot of innings to cover over, you know, a 30-start season, or, you know, probably in his case, a 25-start season. I don't think he'd ever get to 30. It seems like they've got to kind of look and reevaluate how they're either handling their pitchers or they're training their pitchers. And there's a lot of major league teams that need to go through that kind of setup, just because it's kind of weird, all the injuries we end up developing here with guys. And you would think, you know, they would be able to stay healthier, or you know, give their teams a little more than what they give them now. And I don't know. I mean, I hate the way that everybody's kind of looking at the fact of, well, you know, we'll just go to this, and, you know, one guy will pitch five innings and we'll bring the other guy in to pitch four innings. No, just train them properly. Well, that's all you really got to do when they're coming up is, you know, find a way to get them right. So, you know, and they do have a pitching prospect named Griffin Cannon, or Caning, depending on how you want to pronounce it. But I'm guessing since he's on the prospect list, he's not really pitching anywhere. Oh, no, this guy's actually in AAA. He made three starts in AAA. He had a good year at AA. In 10 starts, he was 1-0 with a 1.97 ERA. Knocked around a little bit in AAA, 3-3 with a 5.49 ERA. He's just 22, so he's probably a full year of you know, maybe being away, or maybe, you know, we see him in September next year. But they don't have a lot of top-level pitching prospects, you know, according to MLB.com. A lot of their top guys are hitters. So, you know, like Dan was mentioning, you know, maybe it's time to move Mike Trout. Well, their top two rated prospects are outfielders. So,
yeah, look at that.
You know, they – yeah, there you go. So they had a guy who finished up the year at AA, Joe Adell, and then Brandon Marsh finished up the year at High A. So, you know, they have what could possibly be guys who could step in. You know, Adell isn't far away. You know, if he has a good camp or a good winter, you know, he could possibly make the big club. He could be a guy, you know, to fill that spot if they didn't bring somebody back in a Trout trade.
Yeah, and I know it's, you know, I'm not trying to be like the guys on TV where, you know, oh, you got to do all about tear down and rebuild. You know, it's Mike Trout. How can you, you know, not say the same? How did you not agree with that, with the Nationals trying to trade Bryce Harper? Well, you know, if the Nationals 2 years ago were in the same position they were in, and we had the Marlins, you know, 20 games ahead of them, I think I would have been saying, hey, I think it's time the Nationals trade Bryce Harper and Steven Strasburg and see what they can continue to do to, you know, improve for the future. But, you know, I'm trying to be realistic here also in the fact that you haven't done it. Your top pitcher hitter is only going to be, you know, DH'ing next year, which I, you know, it's still, and I guess it works out. I still don't understand the concept that he's going to, Ohtani, that is, have Tommy John and then miraculously be able to still hit. It supposedly doesn't affect his rehab or whatever, but, you know, I guess I have to see it to believe it. So it's one of those that just doesn't make sense in my mind, because if that were the case, then guys like Xavier Nady, who had Tommy John many moons ago, would have still been able to play. Well, I guess he'd be throwing the ball. So I do believe he was an American League team, so I don't know, you could have put him on the bench, you know, to DH and come off the bench, but, you know, whatever. So that one still doesn't totally make sense to me. So I still feel like you'll still be down that 1 year, and you'll still have value for him after next season if the Angels aren't where they expect to be, especially with the pitching rotation. But I think the most value they'll be able to get for him will be this offseason.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I really think it would be for lack of a better word, dumb if the Angels don't start entertaining that idea once this, you know, the World Series is over with and they get to the winter meeting.
Well, here's the big difference we're looking at between two teams, Dan. While the Nationals, of course, could have moved Bryce Harper, with the exception of this year, they've always been a contender. When was the last time you remember the Angels contending?
Well, they got swept by the Royals.
Right. So that was how many years ago now? Four?
Four? Was that 2014, I believe? Yeah, 2014.
2014, 2015. So, you know, that's the big key difference there. I mean, I'm not going to trade Bryce Harper from a contender. This year, I would understand if they'd have said, okay, maybe we're going to try to move him. We're really having a rough year. See if we can get anything for him. And they did try. They put him on waivers, but he got claimed. So they pulled him back. I never even heard of Trout being placed on waivers. So yeah. I don't know if the Angels attempted to do that. So, you know, we'll have to see how that works out. But, yeah, I mean, that's two huge differences there. I mean, no matter how great Mike Trout has been, and he has been great, he hasn't been able to elevate this team. Where Harper had been until this year, I think they had made the playoffs four out of the last 6 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, now it's going to be four out of the last seven because they're not getting in this year. So, you know, that becomes a big difference there when you're kind of looking at it. You know, I mean, why the hell would you deal Bryce Harper from a contender? But I'm sure there's experts out there who would have thought it was a fantastic idea if they had done it because they got prospects back. As long as you get those prospects back.
Oh, yeah. It's like gold. You know, I don't know what you'd call him. He's the senior attorney at the firm. On the verge of retirement, but he's back in town for whatever reason. You know, and he's like, we asked him how long is he in for. He's like, man, it sounds like a prison term. I'm like, well, you're supposed to be retired. So, yeah. You know, that was one of the things that, you know, and I thought it was funny because he's kind of aligned with us. Wherein, you know, he even said, you know, I think the most disappointing team this year is the Nationals. He's like, you know, hands down, you know, yeah, there's teams in last place, you know, the Royals, the White Sox. Yeah, it's disappointing if you're a fan of that team. But he's like, this is hands down the most disappointing team because they should have led this their division, the East, and won. And he goes, and then all of a sudden they had their fire sale, and you're like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you do kind of wonder – you know, and again, I mean, you look at that team and you wonder how it all went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Where did it go? I mean, that's a lot of talent to not produce. And, you know, normally in those situations, managers lose their jobs. But, you know, the Nationals have said they're going to stick with Davey at least one more year. So we'll see how that works out.
Well, isn't it interesting, though, that they went from veteran coach to the new guy, and all of a sudden they're no longer in the playoffs?
Yeah, it's a very, you know, I guess the only way I can kind of look at it is odd.
Coincidental?
Yeah, I don't know how else to kind of quantify it. Just kind of strange the way it worked out. I mean, you know, they wanted to get younger. They wanted to get hipper, you know, more of the, you know, new school type of however you want to kind of look at it. But, you know, and it definitely didn't work. I mean, I don't know if they would have kept Dusty if they would have been in a better spot. You know, I mean, you just can't answer that. But, you know, it's definitely an interesting theory, yeah. Yeah. Coinky dink, there you go. So, you know, just gotta, you know, but they're a team, you know, they're in for an interesting off season. You know, I mean, the Harper negotiations are going to be really, really interesting to see how those kind of work out and if he ends up, you know, in a national uniform or if he does actually go, you know, if he ends up in Chicago or, you know, we've heard a lot of other names, you know, the Giants have flat out said that they're planning on being big players. You know, you got to figure that some of the other big money teams take a look at them. You know, I mean, I know like Yasiel Puig's a free agent, so maybe that's the swap out the Dodgers make. So, you know, it could be quite the interesting Bryce Harper offseason.
I didn't even realize he was in a free agent this offseason. Yasiel Puig, that is.
Yeah, I believe, because I was, you know, I remember you and I had the discussion, and, you know, like, I thought he would be the perfect signing for the Marlins. You know, here's a guy you could bring in at the face of your franchise while you're rebuilding. You know, while I love Starlin Castro, Puig has what you would call, I guess, a little more swag, as they say, Dan, right? That's what the kids still say that.
Oh, yeah. I think it's still swag. I don't think it's changed.
Right, and he would definitely be, you know, an interesting lead piece. You know, and I did find it odd. I wanted to bring this one up to you, Dan. You know, he's been super hot, and the Dodgers actually sat him for a couple games because the analytics said he wasn't a good matchup. They pinch hit him on the night, and he hit a 3-run bomb.
You know,
so they actually sat a guy who had 5 home runs in 3 games because the analytics said it wasn't a good matchup.
You know, and that's what I don't like about the game. You know, my father-in-law, all he could talk about is, I can't stand you'll understand this one. He can't stand Tommy La Stella, and he can't stand Albert Almora. And I'm like, well, why? Oh, he doesn't know how to play. I'm like, there's no arguing with a grumpy old man who's still boycotting the NFL and Nike. You heard that right, Nike. Not Nike, Nike. You know, I'm like, Albert Amora is a high-caliber outfielder. He's definitely a better option than Ben Zobrist, Ian Happ, or Kyle Schwarber. And I go, remember that month? It seemed like that it was he and Javi starting off the game. They were hot. And then, the analytics say blah, blah, blah. So we're going to sit both of them or, you know, move Javi down to like batting 7th. And then what happens? They go on a losing streak. The whole, the analytics say, I'm like, that's the one thing that kills me with this game is, yeah, the analytics may say that, but when the guy's hot, he's hot. If you put him in and the analytics said that he wasn't going to perform and he doesn't, okay, then you sit him the next day. But don't preempt it. Ridiculous.
Yeah, Well, you know, that's just what I thought was so weird, you know, was, let's sit this guy. But, Dan, I have to be honest with you. I've been boycotting Nike for many years, but just because I can't afford their shoes, so...
Well, you're shopping at the wrong stores.
They don't. I don't think they carry Nike at like Payless. So, you know.
Well, no, I had to, with all the walking I do for work, I had to shell out the $60 for my Nikes. But hey, it's been 2 years since I had my new pair. And, you know, and to be honest, since we're way off topic with this talk, when I went, it had nothing to do with Nike, Adidas, or Fila, or Converse. I just wanted plain black shoes that didn't have a giant-ass logo. And I really didn't want to wear New Balance. Sorry, and you, all you NBs out there, but I don't need this plain color with some bright green or bright blue, you know, I just want black shoes. And I'm old now, but I don't want to go into that old dad white shoes. You know what I'm talking about, Big Jack? I don't want to go there.
Yes. So, I one of the best pair of shoes I ever had was a pair of New Balance. So, you know.
Yeah, but even those aren't that cheap either.
No, no, you know, well, nothing is cheap now, are they? So,
no, no.
But, yeah, I thought that was kind of humorous because, yeah, I just, you know, never owned a pair of Jordans, couldn't afford them. So,
yeah. Well,
you know, just how it goes. But no, here before, I know we're running out of time, but there was something, somebody showed this to me at work this morning, Dan, and sadly, he got it as a text, so it didn't have the link on it. There's actually a humorous thing, and I wish I could find it. I was trying to search it on your favorite search engine, but I couldn't get the proper wording. Apparently over the weekend, I think it might have been the California Bears, like a student announced team or something, or maybe it was a lower, like, Division III college football announced team. The quarterback scrambles. They're in the red zone, and the quarterback scrambles, and he gets hit by multiple guys. He actually does a front flip, kind of manages to land on his feet and pops up, and first the guy drops an F-bomb, and he's live on air, of course, and as he's going on, he apologizes, but he doesn't apologize, and then he calls his producer a pussy. And I think he managed to work in a couple of the swear words as he was going on there. And I think he closes with saying, this is probably going to be my last, he might have said effing broadcast, or he threw something else out there. But, you know, maybe you'd have better luck to, you know, to find it or search it or something like that. I just thought if you see it, it's really, it's basically just entertaining. I mean, it's nothing I would want to air here because there is quite a bit of profanity. But yeah, it's humorous to listen to.
I'll have to look that up.
So, you know, yeah, if you can find it, or if anybody else out there can find it, it's definitely worth the listen. You know, it just kind of the way the guy's reaction, because obviously, you know, he's excited about the scoring play, because it is a really fantastic play. You know, the guy, you know, he gets a, you know, they put a pretty good hit on him, and he ends up flipping forward into the end zone and scores a touchdown and more or less lands on his feet, not quite perfectly, but, and yeah, the guy just wigs out like a lot of announcers do. I mean, you and I have heard guys, you know, do that before, but yeah, all of a sudden the F-bomb comes out and it's like, whoa, wait a minute. So if you get the chance, maybe we can find it, or somebody can take a look. I was going
to
put it on the Sports Embryo Facebook page, but like I said, I just couldn't run the damn thing down. So we'll see.
You have to text me the name of that team so I could do my searches better.
Yeah, I'll have to. I'll see if I can find the guy at work tomorrow and get the actual name, because I don't know. It was a California team, but obviously there's only how many college football teams in California. So I don't know if it was like the UC Bears or if it was a lower division team. So, we'll, you know, I'll have to see if I can help us narrow down our search parameters a little bit. So, Dan and I are going to take off. I don't know when we're here on Fridays anymore. So I will be back on Sunday within 2 hours. Dan returns on Monday with me. So we're going to be gone for a little while. I know you're nervous, but it'll be okay. As long as we're going, and I'll be sportsradio.com. Check out what's going on over there. We won't go on yesterday and listen to me on Saturday. Don't forget the Facebook page. We've got to like it. Don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Also, if you have any football questions, Mr. Fantasy, ask Mr. Fantasy. Now, once we got to the next day, I'm going to sit down and listen to this live. That was really cool. We just go to bed. Go over to TuneIn.com.
Sports Time Radio. Rock on.